Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
I mean, we didn't finish the way we want it, so that's not kind of like, that's not great. But, you know, we'll sit down and reflect how the season went. We'll talk about it in the upcoming days, but as an organization, compared to other years, I think we took a step forward in certain areas. You know, like I always said, you know, we're not a perfect team. We are a good team that needs to keep improving. And, you know, let's see what the offseason brings. But I truly believe we're going to keep getting better.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
As we move into the 7 o'clock hour here, it's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. Only go until 9 tonight here, and then it's Boomer and Valente till 10 o'clock. And along with Boston, we are coming to you live up in Maine, Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the Islands. And if you're not in any of those places, don't forget you can stream WEEI anytime right on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. And if you missed any particular segments, you can listen to the WEEI and Christian Arcan Show podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. I want to talk a little bit about the future of this team, but we will continue to take your calls on the game last night, the season that was, the Devers trade. What do you think is going to happen with this outfield logjam that never really got addressed at the trade deadline? I know a lot of people are very unhappy with basically all three outfielders. No one's happy with Duran. No one's happy with Abreu. No one's happy with Rafaela. It's varying degrees of how unhappy you are, I guess. But if you want to chime in on that, you certainly can. I think that dovetails nicely into what we're talking about here this hour as well, which is, what does this team need? What does this team need? I heard all throughout the last, I don't know, week or so that, oh man, that Giolito injury now, oh, this team has no depth. They really should have gotten more depth. This team had lots of starting pitching depth, okay? They had a lot of starting pitching depth. And what I mean by that is, not to lean on the injury excuse or anything, but you go over the list, it's a long list, man. Like, you know, Giolito, number one. Then you want to keep going down, and this is just the pitching staff, okay? Tanner Houck's been out since, I don't even know when, since May, I think, right? Cutter Crawford never pitched this year. Hunter Dobbins tore his ACL. Dick Fitz, I forget what happened to him. What happened to Fitz?
He had like that weird elbow strain.
He had an elbow strain.
So it's not Tommy John or UCL or anything like that.
Well,
but he was ruled out for the year.
Yeah, I know. He's definitely ruled out for the year. But that's pitching depth right there. I mean, that's a handful of names. I'll even throw Dustin May in there, okay? Not that it was great pitching depth or anything, but that was a guy at the end of the rotation that you could have maybe leaned on if you made it to the next round. You know, you really only have two guys, three if you count early, you know, but I do count early, by the way. I thought that he was very good, and I thought he deserved a lot better. I thought he pitched with a lot of guts, a lot more than Brian Baio had, certainly on Wednesday, and that was nice to see. I thought that was a real nice pitcher's duel there for a couple innings, and then the defense just completely imploded. That's the way it went. But as far as what Alex Cora had to say there in that post-game clip about how they took steps forward in certain areas, he's not wrong about that. He's certainly not wrong about that. And those steps forward were made possible, excuse me, by the moves that were made by Craig Breslow in the offseason. Not in season, but certainly in the offseason. Your pitching staff does not put up the numbers that it did this year without Garrett Crochet at the front and Aroldis Chapman at the back. Okay? Those were two grand slams by Craig Breslow. He deserves a ton of credit for those. And you can't call them anything but, you know, 10 out of 10s. But you can't just stop there. You cannot stop there. And there are a lot of free agents who are going to be potentially up for sale here in the offseason. Some of them I don't think are going to actually hit the market, but some of them will. And we're going to go over some of those names right now. Now, I'm not going to be talking about Joe Ryan and guys that you want to trade for. We can do that later on. But I'm talking strictly in free agency because this is where the money comes in. This is where that $30 million from Devers comes in. How are you going to spend that? How are you going to reallocate that? I don't want it to just go to signing your own guys. Everyone signed, okay? You know, there's not a lot of people whose contracts are up here. There's only really a few. And you want to put some of that towards Alex Bregman, fine, but you already were paying him. Like, you know, if you want to add to the team, if you want to put some more bats in this lineup, which is what I think they need more than anything else, more than a starting pitcher, more than a number two starter, they need more pop in that lineup. It's, I think, indisputable. But you may disagree. 617-779-7937. Let's go over, just for the sake of it, the first and second baseman that are scheduled to hit the market, and not all of them are hitting the market in the same way. Some of them are opt-outs, some of them are options, some of them may not hit the market at all, but these are just some of the names that are out there at the moment. Then we'll get to your phone calls right after this. At first base, there's Pete Alonso. I would love Pete Alonso to join the Red Sox. I would love it. I think there's way too many factors riding against it. I think they love him in New York. I think they will overpay for him. I think he will want to return there because that's where he's from. And I just think the Red Sox are going to be used as leverage to basically say, all right, Steve Cohen, you're going to have to beat this offer. And then he's going to do it. And that's what's going to happen. Josh Naylor, who was traded at the deadline to the Mariners, who are still alive, he's been very good for them. And I think they'll probably make an effort to re-sign him. But they're going to have to do that. You know, they're going to have to make some other decisions there, too. Paul Goldschmidt, who we just saw with the Yankees. What's he, like 36? Rhys Hoskins has a mutual option with the Brewers? Yes. Carlos Santana. Justin Turner. Josh Bell, who I'm a little intrigued by. Got some power there. Lamonte Wade, Wilmer Flores, Donovan Solano, Ty France, Icy London, Icy Ty France, and Connor Joe. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Thoughts on those names, Joe Braverman?
So I think you and I are sort of synced up in the names that we want. I also think Pete Alonso would be great. I think they just need to find some power. And Alonso, I mean, outside of Schwarber, probably is the best power bat that's going to be out on the market. I think Josh Naylor also would be really good to pick up there. But if they wanted to, I'm not going to say like cheap out, but if they don't pay high price for that, if you can get Josh Bell, that's someone where if... You know, because I'm going to throw this out there. Tristan Casas is going to be a part of the mix in 26.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where it's going to be, but I would assume he'll be off the bench. He won't be playing as much because it is a big injury, and it takes some time to recover from that. So if he and Josh Bell can maybe split the load at first base potentially, that would be cool with me. But out of the list you just said, those are the three names I like.
Yeah, Josh Bell is getting up there. He's in his 30s as well. He's 34, 33, something like that. So he's been around the block a little bit. You know, had some big years, had some little years. This past year, he only hit 239, but he had 22 homers and 63 batted in with that crap Nationals team. He's had 37 home run seasons with Pittsburgh back in 2019. You know, he'll give you 20 to 25 home runs in a good year. But it's not always been great for him either. But he is a guy with some power. He is a guy with some power who can give that to you. And he's a switch hitter. So that's a nice little benefit as well. You don't have to worry about the matchups all the time. Not a lot of switch hitters on the Red Sox this year, by the way. Do they have any? They have any switch hitters?
Sogard and Toro.
Toro, right. You know, it's kind of crazy to me. That the plan coming out of the All-Star break was Abraham Toro to be the full-time first baseman. And not to crap on him or anything. He did his best. But, you know, that was the plan. That was it. They were like, all right, here we go, boys. Abraham Toro's our first baseman. And it's like, okay, like, guys, you know, can we do something? And then, you know, Toro gets DFA'd and they bring in Lowe. But, like, that was the plan. That was the plan coming out of the break. Like, that's not great. 617-779-7937. We'll get to the second baseman here in just a second. But I want to get to Mike in Buffalo. He has a thought on Rafi Devers. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, how you doing, Christian?
What's up, Mike?
Know what you're talking about. That's why you host this show.
Thank you.
I would go all in for Alonzo. That's what I do. I'd like to know what you think about that. Thanks, Christian.
I mean, I certainly would, Mike. I'd love for them to go get Pete Alonzo, and it's not my money, so I say go out and spend it. And you also have $30 million you just saved from Rafi Devers, not to mention your tremendous fortune from Fenway Sports Group, all right? You can afford this. You can afford to pay the extra taxes. You can afford all that stuff. And I wonder if a loss to the Yankees, a very public, very, you know, well viewed in 2025 for Major League Baseball anyway, back on the upswing, you know, a lot of eyeballs on that loss. I wonder if that awakens anything in John Henry, in Theo, in Warner, you know, all those guys. Is that what's, you know, like, is that going to compel them to want to go out and spend on some of these guys?
I mean, potentially. They all were at Yankee Stadium for Game 2 and Game 3, and we know Henry. Like, he's sort of, like, out and in, but when he's in, he's, like, fully committed. He probably was seething at what you were saying earlier, the multiple times they played Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I mean, probably. Let's get to the second baseman. We're going to be free agents this year. Luis Arraez. Ozzie Albies has a club option. Gleyber Torres, Brandon Lowe, Jorge Polanco. Lowe is a club option, by the way. Jorge Polanco with a vesting option. Or is that Brandon Lau? Yeah, Brandon Lau, not Lowe. Jorge Polanco, Luis Renjifo. Kyle Farmer has a mutual option. Tyro Estrada, who I'm not even sure who that is. Adam Frazier and Jorge Mateo. Second base may be arguably a more dire situation than first base. Because at least at first base you have Cass is coming back, and you have Gonzalez behind them in sort of a platoon there if you need it. Second base, you know, like you have Hamilton, you have Romy moving back and forth. I don't love your second base situation right now. I just don't think that it's very strong. I don't know about Christian Campbell. I don't know about Marcelo Meyer, if that's where he's going to be, if he's going to take over at third for Bregman when he leaves, if he leaves. I'm not sure about that. But I'll tell you, that's not a super inspiring list of second baseman free agents.
You know what the solution would be? Would be Trevor Story opts in, and you move him to second base. Mm. That means Marcelo Meyer is your everyday shortstop. Because, I mean, we've seen Story struggle with the errors.
At the end of the year,
end of the year, and yeah. Obviously that's like fatigue and whatever. Part of it, you know, he hasn't played a full season in forever, and he also is getting up there in age. So you want to get Meyer in that shortstop spot? Do it next year. And then there's your second base right there. Trevor Story can be great at second base. We saw him do it the first year he signed, you know, when him and Bogarts had the little issue.
Yeah, sure. No question about that.
But in terms of these names, Brandon Lau hit 30 home runs this year.
He did.
I think it was 31. So,
but he's got a club option, and I'm sure they'll pick that up.
Right.
You so know, if, there's no way they're going to let him go.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and some of these names, there's club options, there's vesting options, there's player options. The player options are the one you got to take a look at. But if it's a good player with a club option, I mean, even the Rays, poverty franchise that they are, they're not going to let him walk out the door when they have the option. The Red Sox are also going to have some decisions to make with people like Jaron Duran. Jaron Duran has 2 more years of arbitration, okay? I'm very interested in what that's going to look like. Jaron Duran, who tends to run a little hot, you know, like that guy, after the year that he had and the ammo that the Red Sox are going to go into that meeting with, just in terms of this is what we want to pay you. You know, I think that's going to be potentially a contentious situation. And I don't know how great the relationship between Duran and the team is right now. I had no idea, no way of knowing that. I'd imagine it's pretty good because at the trade deadline, they all stood behind him very, you know, 10 toes. They said, no, this guy's too important. He's too important to the clubhouse, too important on the field. On the field, he had a down year, and he really, you know, fell off at the end of the season. Had an awful playoff series, and he wasn't the only one. I mean, he was part of a big group of people you can say that about. But he's also a guy who's got 2 more arb years, and then they're going to have to make a decision about him. And I have a feeling that those arbitration hearings could end up being the kind you read about, you know, like the, that's very much on the table, I think, here. And I would like them to keep him. I know a lot of people were saying that. I'm all done with Duran. Get him out of here. Forget about it. I think that's giving up very, very quickly on a guy that gave you two very strong seasons, including one that was a top 10 MVP type of season. Now, that is not a close to what he gave you this year. But you don't want to see if he could maybe recapture that? Like, you know, it's not like he's 35. He's 27. Like, he's not super young either, but this is a guy who I think could be still in his prime, even with a down season. I think he could bounce back and get back to what he was the 2 years prior. I don't think that's out of the question. So, you know, I understand people are frustrated, people are upset, and I do think they have to do something, whether it's him, whether it's Abreu or Rafaela or what. But, you know, they're not going to touch Roman Anthony. Something has to be done about that logjam. You can't go into another season like that with three guys that you're not sure about. You have to decide, you know, you have to decide this is who we want, and we're going to clear up this logjam by moving player X. And that's just the way it's going to have to work. They weren't all bullish on doing it at the trade deadline. They're going to have to figure that out. They're going to have to figure out how to negotiate that.
Do something when you know that you need to do something.
Yes, Wiggy. Thank you. Thank you for summarizing my thoughts. But, you know, that was a problem this year. That was a problem this year that I think a lot of fans looked at and said, hey, you need a starting pitcher. You got all these outfielders. You got a team that's hot on the tail of one of them. The Padres were so horny for Jaron Duran, it was almost embarrassing. I mean, they were calling every day with a new offer. And one of the guys that they offered is out on the market this year, Dylan Cease, who pitched pretty well for them. And I think they won his game, right? Didn't they win the Cease game in that series? I think so. He's going to be on the market. Zach Gallen, Framber Valdez. There's some guys with options like Chris Sale, Mike King, Jack Flaherty, Verlander, Jordan Montgomery. Bieber's got a player option with Toronto. Imanaga, there's a mutual option there, I think. You got Zach Eflin. You got Chris Bassett. Nestor Cortez, Merrill Kelly, Tyler Mahle, Kenta Maeda, who wasn't very good this year, but whatever. Michael Lorenzen's got a mutual option. There are some starting pitchers on this list that I would be very interested in taking a look at, like a long, serious, good look at. Some of these guys were guys that were available at the deadline, and the Red Sox decided not to go full, you know, 10 toes into the rental market. And that was a decision I think was the wrong one. I think they should have traded for more rentals. That's the way it works. If you're a contending team, that's what you do. You go out there and you make a trade where you get ripped off a little bit and you trade a prospect for a guy who's probably only going to be there for a couple more months and you push all the chips in and you go for it. And they didn't do that. They got Dustin May, they got Steven Matz. And both of those guys were rentals, sure. But if you're going to go in the rental market, you got to go all the way in. The Yankees did. The Mariners did. Detroit, I feel like. What did Detroit do? Forget what Detroit did at the deadline, but every team except you did.
Charlie Morton.
Oh, Morton, that's right, yeah. The Mariners went hammer time at the deadline. Yeah, you know, like you, the Blue Jays even, like there was a lot of moves that got made and you didn't really step up there. So you're going to have to make up for that in the offseason. That is of the most utmost importance. Because there's some names on that list. Names that I wouldn't mind you spending some of that Rafael Devers money on. But you need that bat. You need that bat more than anything. And when it comes to the bats, it's all in the outfield. That's where all the bats are. That's where Kyle Tucker is. That's where Kyle Schwarber is. Although he could be whatever. He's a DH, basically. Cody Bellinger. Luis Robert. Conforto. Yastrzemski. Grisham. I'd love Grisham on the Red Sox. I'd take Grisham on the Red Sox. I know the outfield's crowded, but I really like him. He's a Red Sox killer. There's some names on that list I'd be interested in, too. And, again, you're going to have to figure out what you're doing with your outfielders, but there's some bats on there that I'd like on this roster and I'd like in this lineup. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break here. We will hear from Joe Braverman. He'll get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, we'll hear from Pat Brown of the Play Tessie podcast as we go over the season that was and look ahead to the seasons that will be. That's coming up next. First, here's Joe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You also have to find some offense, guys. I mean, you just have to. And what you're going to do at first base, that's going to be a big mystery. The guy I'm sitting here, you know, we're just in the clubhouse, Kyle Schwarber. And do I think he's going to end up with the Red Sox? No. Do I think they should make the strongest run possible at him? Yes. Do I think they will make the strongest run possible at him? No. Because it's going to be because it's, you know, I think Alex Cora is no mystery how much he likes a guy and wants a guy. He's sort of the Bregman guy. He's the guy that maybe some people in the front office say, well, he's not, we can do with Nolan Arenado. We can do without him. No, man. Like he does all the things that you don't necessarily see. He is a value.
Rob Bradford on with WEEI Afternoons today at 4:30. Good hit there as he was on his way to Philly, I think. Or was he there by then? Had he made it to Philly by then?
I think he was in Philly at the time because he said okay. He spoke to Kyle Schwarber already.
Oh, he already talked to him. All right, well, that makes sense then. Because, yeah, he was. I was texting with him, Bragg, earlier today, and I was like, you still in New York? He's like, nah, then to Philly. Because baseball isn't boring, okay? Just because the Red Sox are out doesn't mean that baseball suddenly got boring.
He's got the bigger mission.
It's true. He's got to go hand out stickers to people. That's, you know, he's good at that. Listen, he gets those shirts, he gets those stickers out, boy. He is a marketing genius, Rob Bradford. And for more on that.
Still waiting for hats, by the way.
Yeah, baseball isn't boring. Hats need to happen. How has that not happened yet?
No, they have happened.
Oh.
But including the guy we're about to bring on, they've all gotten them, but you and I haven't.
Oh, I didn't know they existed. All right, well, let's bring in Pat Brown of the Play Tessie podcast, all proteges of the great Rob Bradford. Pat, how are we doing tonight?
Not too bad, Christian. How's it going?
I'm okay. I've made peace with this whole thing. Like, I was upset last night. I was upset watching him get dominated by Schlittler and seeing them go out with a whimper like that. But, you know, time with the rest of the day and, you know, sleeping on it and coming in today. It was one of those games where there were plenty of things you can pick apart from it, but you don't win a game 0-0, Pat. You know, I mean, it's as simple as that. You went up against the buzzsaw, and that happens sometimes in the playoffs. That's sort of how I'm looking at it. Like, I'm not sure there's anything they really could have done last night.
No, I agree. I think last night you're going up a guy who was borderline unhittable. The real dilemma was game two. They had so many opportunities there. once they dropped two, going into three, it was hard to feel confident. And then you saw how Schlittler looked last night, and there was just no chance they were doing damage with the lineup they had last night and how he was throwing the ball. There was no shot.
Yeah, it was one of those type of performances, and you're right. Really, Wednesday is when the series, I think, kind of got lost. And I think we sort of expected that in a way, just knowing that the third starter was so unsettled. And coming in into the month of September and coming down the stretch here, Pat, I think that there has been sort of two lines of thought about this. Number one being that they should have done more at the deadline, which I agree with, but the other one being that they didn't have depth on this team. They did. They just, you know, five of your starters got injured.
Yeah, I think that's like my biggest gripe with the fan base right now is just the people singing from the mountaintops that they had no starter depth. They had way too much starter depth to begin the year. You had the five you started with, and then you had Cutter, you had Patrick Sandoval, who never even came back.
Right.
Cooper Criswell got hurt, Fitz got hurt, Dobbins got hurt, Giolito ended up going down. Like, there was just so many injuries that piled up that even if they did make a move at the deadline, you still only have three quality starters that you are certain can actually pitch major league games. In a three-game series, does that help you? Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. You feel much better going into game three. And that's not a knock on Connolly early. Connolly, I thought, pitched great last night. But to say they had never had any pitching depth, to me at least, is insane.
I agree. What was the turning point in the series, Pat?
So easy for me. It's Sedan popping up the bunt. Mm. That was the biggest vibe killer in the series for me. First and second, no outs. You have speed on second. All Sedan has to do is put a ball on the ground. A batter or two later, Story hits one to Saturn. That's like 3 feet short of the fence. Eaton gets in on that, and then you're up a run. And then just popping that up just totally killed the inning. The Duran drop was another one. But to me, it's that Sedan bunt. That's a scenario, A, you have to get it down, and B, he squared on two pitches that were in the left-handed batter's box. He didn't even attempt to pull back on balls that were clearly balls. That's, for me, that's the turning point.
And that's funny, too. I mean, it's not funny, but, like, Rafaela swings at everything. That's been his problem. I didn't think he'd bunt swing at everything. Like, you know what I mean? I thought at least if he's squaring up the bunt and he saw the thing going and it's in the next batter's box over there, he might pull the bat back. But nope, he's committed to the bit. The outfield logjam never got addressed, really, Pat, at the deadline. Now we're going into the offseason. What do you do there?
Yeah, it's a tough question because the entirety of the outfield kind of leaves a sour taste in everybody's mouth after the three-game set.
Sure.
Sedan didn't do much offensively or defensively. Jaron had maybe one of the worst postseasons I think I've ever seen. One hit. Him against lefties has become a real issue. It seems like he has the same swing for every single pitch from the left-hand side. And then Willier, obviously, after the injury, never really looked like Willier. He's kind of a shell of himself last month or so. Moving forward, though, you got to weigh the pros and cons because each guy definitely has pros and cons. I mean, you look at Duran, that's a guy who's durable, has some speed, can kind of give you energy when you need it. Sedan, obviously, is a platinum glove candidate. I would bet everything that he wins the gold glove in center field in the American League. Willier, when healthy, is a guy who won a gold glove last year in 140, 150 games that he could play. That's a 30 home run pop. So you definitely got to weigh it out. But for me, at least, I lean towards Duran being the odd one out. You just factor in age. He had a pretty big regression compared to last year. And pretty much everything he did great last year, he kind of regressed to the mean. And everything he did average last year, he was below average this year. And I don't know how you can really be encouraged by his season this year, and especially his postseason going into 26.
Yeah, there's no real way to dress that up, I would agree. The only thing I'd say, Pat, is that between the three of them, the only one who's had real success in the majors so far, and by that I mean been talked about as one of the better outfielders in the game, is Jaron Duran. And that wasn't that long ago. I mean, I know he's not in his early 20s, but he's not in his 30s yet, and he's not that far removed from a really – not transcendent season, but for him, you know, clearly his best. Now, a regression season is fine, but Rafaela the last 2 months was hitting 200, and Abreu, when he came back from the injury, never put it together. So I look at the three of them, and I kind of like Duran the most.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, it's the pros and cons. Yeah. To me especially, I kind of said it back in March, is the whole thing with Sedan is such a great piece if you have a competent offense. Like, that's a guy who can, you can get away batting ninth because the defense is so good. Down the stretch, I mean, once Roman went down, obviously they trade Rafi. You need runs. Yeah, like, it's great he saves running the outfield, but the last month and a half, 2 months, it was basically a black hole in the lineup every time he was in it.
Yeah, no question about it. With that being said, it's a bit of a hit-or-miss free agent class here, and a lot of these potential free agents I don't even think are necessarily going to hit the market, but they have a lot of money to spend. I'm assuming that they're going to, you know, put some of that Devers money towards reinvesting back into a bat. Who do you have your eye on? Who do you think they should get aggressive with?
Yeah, so the two guys who are absolute pipe dreams are Alonso and Schwarber.
Yeah.
Do I see either of them leaving their incumbent team? I don't think I do. I think, and you said it earlier, I think Steve Cohen is just a guy who he knows he needs Alonso. That lineup needs Alonso. Whatever offer comes across, he'll top it. And then as far as Schwarber goes, we know Dave Dombrowski's a madman. He doesn't care how bad that contract looks in 3, 4, 5 years. I think they'll match that. For me, the next pivot's Josh Naylor. I know it's another left-handed bat, but it's a guy who hit almost 300 this year, 25 home runs. He had, I would legitimately say, the sneakiest 30 stolen base season in MLB history. That's a guy who performed in Arizona, went to Seattle, performed there. He performed in Cleveland. There's really no blemishes on his resume. And if that's your consolation prize to Schwarber and Alonso, I think that's a good place to land, because I think he helps that lineup tremendously.
What about a guy like Josh Bell? I know he's a little bit older, and you'd be looking at a platoon there maybe with he's a switch hitter, so you could platoon him there with Cassis when he comes back. But is that, you know, he's got some power. He's a little older, but you're looking for power in the lineup right now, right? I mean, this team could not hit home runs when they needed to.
Yeah. Bell, 3 years ago, I would have said intrigued me. Mm. His splits this year, he's a switch hitter. I believe he hit sub 210 against left-handed pitching.
Oh.
14 of his 18 home runs were off of right-handed pitching. But if Cassis is a guy who's a piece of this puzzle next year, it seems really redundant to have him, because it's not really like you can platoon the two of them. If you were maybe platooning him and a right-handed bat at DH, and you were comfortable with Romy platooning at first with Cassis, sure. But to me, I think we did the whole a lot of platoon things this year.
Sure.
And it worked pretty well, but it's also because your hand was kind of forced. You're going into 26 with a clean slate. If you can go into the year with one guy who you platoon, that's what you should be aiming for. If you have 2-3 down the lineup, it comes back to bite you. And it happened in Game 3. I mean, Abreu didn't play every day. Lowe didn't play every day. Yoshida played great, and he didn't play every day. But going into that Game 3, you had guys who hadn't played a full game in 4 full days, and it showed. Schlittler dominated last night.
Yeah, he was awesome, and has been on a rampage on social media ever since, which has been also pretty entertaining. We entered the season with the big three in the prospects. Obviously, we know Roman Anthony is going to be there as soon as he's back and healthy and ready to go. What do you make of the futures of Marcelo Meyer and Christian Campbell here in the 2026 season? Where do you see those guys fitting in?
Yeah, I think Bregman's the key piece with the Marcelo thing. I am of the mind where I think Bregman's back on an extension. No shot. I don't think he's getting a raise, and I don't think he expects a raise in terms of, like, AAV. Something in the realm of 5 for $140, kind of in that 25 to 30 range, makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
So if he's in the fold, I think going into next year is when you start the transition of Marcelo over at shortstop and Trevor over to second. The last month or so, you kind of saw the fatigue in Trevor's arm. He had a couple of weird throws, errors that weren't really like him. And if he opts in, it's a 2-year thing. I'd much rather build the confidence of Marcelo over at short, because he showed it at third. He showed it at second. He is a stud defensively, and he is a shortstop. I think you start that there. Campbell's the interesting one.
Yeah.
Campbell, if the bat can play, I still like him personally in a corner outfield spot, but with the log jam, that makes it real tough. Does he get everyday reps at first? Is he the platoon with Cassis? That could work. He's an interesting one. I still lean corner outfield, just because even when he was up and even down in AAA, he doesn't really show the glove of an everyday second baseman. I think he's a guy who can play second base. But I think you can stash him in left field at Fenway and totally live with it.
All right, before we let you go here, Pat, do you think that this loss to the Yankees, a very public, very high-profile playoff, definitive game loss to the Yankees here, is going to spurn both Theo Epstein, John Henry, Tom Werner, the whole brain trust? Are they going to take this personally and get aggressive in this offseason? What do you expect is going to happen there?
Yeah, I think they're going to be aggressive this offseason. If Bregman leaves, they'll replace Bregman and throw around Rathi money or elsewhere. They could bring Bregman back. They could go out and get, you know, Cease or whoever else is out there. But, yeah, I do. I think losing in the playoffs to the Yankees will kind of light a fire under their butts. And the other thing, too, is no matter what really happened in the playoffs this year, it makes no sense to lock up Crochet on the money that he was on, to lock up Roman on the money that he has, extend Chapman who at 37 if you're not banking on going all in these next few years, especially with Roman under contract. Yeah, I fully expect them to be aggressive, make moves, and I think we see a better roster next year than we had this year.
All right, Pat Brown, Play Tessie Podcast. Great stuff as always. Great season for you guys, really. Tremendous work, I thought, all year long. Great interviews, great content, and thanks for jumping on with me here the times that you did. It was certainly appreciated, and I look forward to what you guys have in store.
Absolutely. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Shout out Joe Braverman.
Oh, yes, of course.
Behind the scenes magic. Thanks.
Couldn't do it without him. None of us could do any of this without Joe Braverman, of course. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. If you were on hold, want to jump on. I want to ask and answer the question coming up next. Did the Red Sox overachieve this year? What do you think? 617-779-7937. Sean McAdam's going to join the show at 8 o'clock. In the meantime, we'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Well, I will tell you what, though. I buy stock in the Boston Red Sox. Oh, yeah. I love the young position players and the young pitchers. He's right. You know, we heard so much about the core, the big three position players and Mayer and Roman Anthony and Campbell. These pitchers, between Tolley and Early, I mean, these kids can pitch.
Yeah.
And so they've got a lot going in the right direction. They need to fortify first base, figure out what they're going to do there. Is Cassis an answer there? Can he stay healthy, or do they go out and get a Pete Alonso and play him at first base? Like, you start dreaming a little bit about some additions to this team and improve the defense. They have to do that. But they've got a solid core and a young team to build around for the future.
That was Steve Phillips on the MLB Network saying he'd buy stock in the Red Sox, and I would too, frankly. I would, too. You look at what this team is going to be bringing back, and that doesn't always work. You can't just bring back the same team and expect things to get better. You got to add to it. You got to continue to build what you're hoping to get. But Crochet is signed through 2031. Trevor Story has an opt out, but assuming he opts in, that's another 3 years of him. Roman Anthony signed till forever. Christian Campbell, Yoshida, you have a couple another year. Then you have an arbitration year in 2028. Bayo signed. Rafael is signed. You have plenty of guys. You know, I mean, it's just there's not a lot of guys leaving. Important guys leaving. Aroldis Chapman, you have signed for another couple of years. Whitlock signed. You know, you might be losing some guy. Ref Snyder might be gone. Steven Matz. Justin Wilson. Dustin May. You know, that's basically it. Other than that, you know, you may be looking at some opt-outs. You may not be. But you have a lot of these guys coming back. So the question I asked before the break was, did this team overachieve? I say no. I don't think they overachieved. They were a second wild card team. They were knocked out in the wild card round. They, for the first 3 months of the season, I thought, underachieved. And then got to right about where they should have been. Maybe a little lower. I think they could have made a real push for the AL East, but didn't have a great September. The Yankees had a great September. The reason why the Red Sox poor September is not more heavily scrutinized is because the Houston Astros and Detroit Tigers had the worst Septembers I've ever seen baseball teams ever have, maybe. I mean, both of those teams. The Astros were leading the West for most of the year, and then the Mariners knocked them out, and then the Guardians knocked them all the way out. The Tigers, who are now on to the next round, by the way, and I think are going to get seen by the Mariners. But that is a team that really shouldn't have made the playoffs, looking at how they finished the season. I mean, that was about as bad of a collapse as I've ever seen in my life. I wasn't alive for Bobby Thompson.
Well, they could have been the Mets.
Could have been the Mets, that's true. Mets was right up there. I remember the Philly Fold back in, what year was that, 2013? What was the Philly Fold? Maybe it was before then. I remember the Red Sox in 2011. I mean, listen, there's a lot of recent examples even right here of big collapses, but Detroit, that was right up there. And that's why the Red Sox playing 500-ish ball in September is not the end of the world. There were teams that way underperformed you, but it wasn't good. And so that's why I don't think they overachieved. Overachieving would have been really making a push for the AL East. Being in the mix for that down the stretch, that I would have considered overachieving. Holding on to your wild card spot while these other teams collapsed around you, that's just, to me, not overachieving. With the talent they had, I think they were capable of more than this. I do. Injuries, you can say the injuries, they overachieved in the face of that, sure. But that was a winnable series, even with the injuries. And they didn't win it. So, no, they didn't overachieve. Not to me. 617.
But they didn't underachieve.
I wouldn't say they underachieved either. I'd say they were right about where they should have been.
They achieved.
Yeah, they achieved. And it was an achievement. It was a positive step in the right direction. So if it was between one or the other, I'd say, yeah, I'd lean more towards overachieve. But it wasn't like they were some scrappy underdogs going into the season, despite what Alex Cora would have you believe. Alex Cora, no one thought we'd make the playoffs. Lots of people thought you were going to make the playoffs, okay? Everybody thought you were going to make the playoffs, and you did. So that's what happened, you know?
Understanding that we're underdogs this year right now where we are.
No, no, you're not. Although they were more underdogs than this team. Those High and Bloom teams, I mean, they didn't do anything in the off seasons. They didn't do anything at the deadline except for Schwarber that 1 year. They were much more underdogs than this team was. This team went out and spent big. This team went out and got the top starter, top closer, and top power right-handed bat that was out there on the market. And it worked out pretty well. But I'm not going to say they overachieved. I just don't think so. I don't think so. I think overachieve means that the expectations were low and they blew them away. That's overachieving. That's not what happened here. 617-779-7937. Rick is in New Hampshire. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Got it.
Bummer last night. Rest in peace, 2025 Red Sox. That was a bummer.
It was.
But I just wanted to talk about AL Cy Young. I heard you last night talking like it's a foregone conclusion that it's Schuble, mm-hmm. And it seems like you're not the only one. But if I look at the stats, they seem pretty nip and tuck to me is between him and Crochet. And, well, let me ask you personally, since you said it, why is, do you think it's a foregone conclusion that it's Scooble?
I think Scooble was better throughout the duration of the season. Scooble has, statistically, he's got the ERA, which is generally what they end up going with here. I know that Crochet had more strikeouts. I don't know who pitched more innings. Let me see about that real quick. Crochet had more innings. And, yeah, Scooble was about 10 innings behind him right there. But the ERA was better. And he had, in my opinion, just a stronger season. I mean, you know, I don't think it's a blowout. I think that he's going to win it, and it's a foregone conclusion he's going to win it. But I think it was a close race down the stretch. Crochet in September was probably his weakest month.
You didn't give me anything convincing there, really.
Well, what do you think? Why do you think he should be?
Well, I think it's neck and neck, but it's not.
Okay, well, you think it's neck and neck, too. It's not convincing either, Rick.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like nationally it's going to Scooble in the odds and whatnot, but I don't understand why.
Okay, well, I mean, I just tried to tell you. You may not think that's convincing, but he has a better ERA, and that team's still got. I know that doesn't matter because it's a regular season award, but that does, I think, you know, mean something. And as far as the odds are, you're right about that. Scooble right now is minus 20,000, okay, and Garrett Crochet is plus 1,200. And I think that is way too big of a divide. I agree with you there. That's way too big of a divide between those two based on the seasons that they had. And I'm not going to dig deeper into the pitching, you know, advanced statistics because I don't understand how to read them. So I'm not going to pretend like I do. But I think that that's, you know, that's a big part of it too. So, you know, listen, I mean, Garrett Crochet is going to be competing for Cy Young's here, we hope, year in and year out for the next 6-7 years. That to me is about as much of a foregone conclusion as is the Scooble is going to win this year. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will hear from the great Sean McAdam of Mass Live. He joins us here as we continue with our Viking funeral of the 2025 Boston Red Sox.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.